Thank you for listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast. Hope you enjoy it. It's brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for something unique, Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Check them out at Lakewood Chev. Craig Button joins us from TSN, former NHL scout, general manager, now analyst, as we're into the final weekend of the season. Craig, always good to have you back on the program. The Edmonton Oilers last night pretty much punched their ticket for home ice advantage. They would really have to cater against the Vancouver Canucks. I don't think anybody expects that to happen. So at very worst, they're second place and still an outside shot at first place. What's impressed you most as the Oilers have won 10 of 11 down the stretch?
Well, I mean, do you really have to start anywhere else? I mean, we know the games get harder as the season goes on. And now you're playing against your competition. You're playing against the San Jose Sharks. You're playing against the Anaheim Ducks. Los Angeles was in a playoff hunt, 3 weeks ago. And, they've taken on every challenge. And, a little bump in the road the other night there in L.A. where L.A. had an aberration of the game when they scored that many goals. I mean, where was that all season long? But I think the Oilers have been a really even-keeled group. I mean, Jason, let's go back to the beginning of the season, and I think it's really important. You said this at the outset. You said the October schedule is favorable to the Oilers. They have to get out to a good start. They have to make hay. They're not traveling very much outside of their region, and they did. Okay, well, that was great. And then what did they do? They just built on it. And that's what you have to do. A good start is significant, but they built on it. And, you look at different points where it looked like, okay, what's happening here? And I remember those times when Todd McClellan said, a couple of players need a little nudge in the ribs. They haven't been here before. But Todd McClellan has been there before. And Milan Lucic has been there before. And when you start to add up some players that have had those experiences and a coaching staff that's had those experiences, I think they can guide you through it. And I think that when you look at the moves that Peter Chiarelli has made, from the coaching staff to the goaltender to the blue line to the free agent acquisitions to some trades, I think that all those things that allow you to stay on an even keel, you're not always going to score, but you better not be short in the defense area. You're not always going to be great defensively, so you don't want to be short in the offensive area. I think they're a really well-balanced team. They're even keeled in their approach. And when you consider, along with the Toronto Maple Leafs, the jump up that these two teams have made, excellent coaching, real top-notch goaltending, and the number one overall pick that's been significant to really being in the driver's seat.
Yeah, McDavid's been great. You mentioned games get tougher. God. And, here's a guy, 97 points now. And if he gets 3 points in his final two games, gets to 100. And that means he finishes the season with 25 points in 14 games down the stretch, which, it would be fantastic because, that's 100 points in 56 games in over a season. And it makes people start to wonder, geez, where can this guy go? Because he's doing this at the time of the year when the games are supposed to be harder.
Well, they are harder. There's less margin for error. Teams are more, entrenched in their system of team play, and it becomes harder to break those good, especially the good teams. And let me say this about Connor McDavid. You asked me this a couple weeks ago. Do you think he can get 13 points in his last 8 games? I said, yeah, I think he can. And he's going to win the scoring title. He's the front runner, the favorite to win the Hart Trophy. And make no mistake about Connor McDavid. He's a student and a historian of the game. Both those things. He's looking at how to be better today, tomorrow, in the future. And he understands the history of the game. He knows what 100 points means. And more than that, he knows what 100 points means in Edmonton and to be a leading scorer. It's not just about 97 points and I win the scoring title. He understands that 100 points is a significant, significant digit. And he wants to accomplish that, yet he's never going to compromise the team in the pursuit of that. And I can only say this. I'm telling Edmonton Oilers fans, buckle up. Because if you think you've seen the best of Connor McDavid, I think that he's got another gear come playoff time. That's how driven the young man is.
Oh, man, every Oilers fan's wishing they had sweatpants on right now after hearing you make that statement, Craig. They're fired up on Positive Friday. Now, you know, Milan Lucic's game is coming around. That line of Eberle and Nugent Hopkins, you know what? With reality of today's NHL and so few goals, if your top line scoring as much as they are, you're never going to expect your second line to score 65 points again, because I just don't think there's that many goals to be had in the National Hockey League. But I'll say I've been surprised, because I wasn't sure Jordan Eberle could improve his play away from the puck as much as he has this season.
Well, but you know, again, you know, I don't think that Todd McLellan had to name names to say some of these guys need an elbow in the ribs, right? Jordan Eberle was one of them. They'd never been down this path. They'd never understood the grind of February hockey and teams breathing down your neck and, you know, the challenges that are going to come your way. And I think Jordan has jumped to the other side of it. But again, when you start to consider how you get players in the right spots, right? You know, so Connor McDavid has allowed Ryan Nugent Hopkins to be a better player. You know, you look at Jordan Eberle, he doesn't have to be a lead guy now. I mean, Draisaitl's been phenomenal. I think Leon Draisaitl, I'll be straightforward with you right now. I'll just give you, I'm a voter in the end of season awards, and Leon Draisaitl is in my, is on my right wing all-star team. Top, you put in five players, he's mm-hmm. one of the guys I have in my top five. So, you know, that's how good he's been, which has allowed Eberle to handle situations a little bit better. So when you start to look at the puzzle of the Edmonton Oilers and how you piece it together and how you put it into place, a Draisaitl, a McDavid, you know, Maroon's come in and been good, Lucic, it helps everybody get into the right spots. And those right spots mean you can handle the challenges that are presented your way. That's why, you know, team building isn't just about, oh, take this best player, that best player. I mean, you have to fit it all in under the salary cap, and those are the challenges. And I think that you look at the Edmonton Oilers, Nugent Hopkins is playing well. I mean, Lucic has 23 goals, and Maroon has 25, right?
27 now. Yeah, 27.
Okay. Well, that's 50 goals. I mean, my math is pretty good, okay? And I know a lot of people last, whatever, June, were all upset about Taylor Hall. And this isn't an indictment on Taylor Hall, but just consider what Peter Chiarelli did. He had traded for Maroon, he signs Lucic, and he gets Adam Larson. That's what he did. So he's got 50 goals, Hall has 20, so he didn't short-shift himself in the goal-scoring department. He got a defenseman that really shored up his blue line. Wow. I mean, what a job Peter Chiarelli did.
Yeah, then I don't think there's any debate on that. My only thing about
Jason, I know, but like people keep saying, like, it's all about the team. What do you got to do to be a good team? Bill Belichick says it all the time. I'm interested in getting players that help me be the best team, not getting the best players and hopefully I'll be the best team.
Yeah, no, it's a valid point. Definitely a valid point. Craig Button joins us now. Speaking of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Craig. They've got a pretty tough final weekend sked against two tough teams. Now, they still need to lose those, and then they need Tampa Bay to win both their games, and they're playing Montreal, so it's not too hard. But you look at the Leafs, they got to find a way to catch Boston or Ottawa, because I think they would get absolutely murdered by Washington, which I think Ottawa or Boston, like, that's the worst place of any team to finish, I think, in the playoffs, is finishing the second wild card in the East, because Washington just looks like a train right now.
Yeah, they do, and I would say the second place to finish is eighth in the West, right? The second wild card in the West, because you're going to have to play Chicago. And I mean, I'm just saying that on a tier below. But, you know, here's the Toronto Maple Leafs. They've had two chances now to clinch. They're 0-2. And I know I'm reading lots of stuff about the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Columbus Blue Jackets. They don't have anything to play for. What do you think? You're going to throw their sticks on the ice? Is that what people really think? I mean, if the Toronto Maple Leafs don't get serious, and I'm not suggesting they aren't, but if they don't get serious about finding their own way into the playoffs, and Tampa Bay, you know, finds a way to get a or the Islanders, but don't exclude the Islanders out of this, okay? I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, could be sitting going into Sunday going, oh boy, what does this feel like?
Yeah, well, it's fair, right? And Toronto's still the one area they're going to have to improve in the offseason is their defense, right? And I don't think there's any debate about it. Do they just need some veteran kind of stay-at-home defenseman? Is that what Toronto needs more than anything else?
Well, I mean, I'm going to reference Daryl Sutter. Daryl Sutter would say, and probably does say, you know, that you know, if you can get two really good, a good four and a good five, well, that improves your defense. So, you know, don't just limit yourself to trying to find a top two defenseman or just a veteran defenseman. Look at areas where you can improve your team, because those incremental improvements can improve the overall group. And I think that's how they got to look at it. I mean, it would be ideal. Plug in Kevin Shattenkirk. Oh, well, wouldn't that be nice, right? Or plug in a veteran defenseman. Okay, that would be nice. But you got to look at it in its entirety, where your cap is, and understand that, like, you know, if you can add one real solid defenseman and another, you know, real steady, stable defenseman, they don't have to be flashy, but they can be really effective and really efficient. Because just like I talked about what Adam Larson did, like, Adam Larson now didn't push Sekera into more areas. He didn't force the coach to have to play Mark Fain, right? Because now you have Adam Larson. And now other players can settle in. Matt Benning now can be a 5-6 defenseman and handle those responsibilities. If you don't have Adam Larson there, I can guarantee you it's going to be a bigger challenge for Matt Benning to keep his head above water. But that's what Toronto has to do. And I think that, you know, they have Zaitsev, they have Riley, they have Gardner. They got to find a way to close that gap between their group of Hunwick and Carrick and Pollock and that other group, that trio that I mentioned, and try to improve in that area. So it could be one really good player, it could be two other players, but I think they got to look at what's available and what makes sense for them, not only in terms of what the acquisition cost is, but what the price is going forward in terms of contract.
Craig, one final one for you, because next Friday the playoffs will already have started. Oilers need 1 point to get to second place, and if they do that, then they're guaranteed second home ice advantage. Still have a chance at outside to finish first. Is San Jose, the way they're playing with their injuries, is that the best matchup right now for the Oilers, or do you see a better one?
No, I think it's a really good matchup. You know, one of the things watching San Jose, I mean, they got experience. We know that from being in the Stanley Cup Finals. So I'm not going to carry on about experience. They're a team that doesn't look as fast as they were. They don't look like a team that's as quick. They don't look like a team that's able to carry the tempo and the pace for 60 minutes. Last Friday in Calgary, I thought they came out and their plan, watching them, was like, okay, we're going to start out. We got all our energy at the beginning of the game. We're going to try to play from in front in the game. We're going to, and that's a good way to play. But for a team that might not be able to play that game and keep their tempo up, it's a lot easier to play from ahead than trying to catch up from behind. So I think they're trying to jump out on teams, really use their energy to get the lead and then dictate the game. If you don't allow them to do that, I think they have a really tough time being able to sustain their play in the game. And I think you can push them out of a game. So when I think about the Oilers, I think about a team that can do exactly that. They don't have to, I mean, they can handle whatever you want to call it, the push. But I think if they play in front of the San Jose Sharks, or even just even, and just make San Jose try to push their pace and push their tempo over the course of a game, I think that works in Edmonton's favor, and I think it works against the San Jose Sharks. So I think that San Jose is a real good matchup for them. I wouldn't want to play the Calgary Flames or the Anaheim Ducks. I mean, they're not going to play the Anaheim Ducks. But I wouldn't. Well, I guess they could play the Calgary Flames. They can't play Anaheim.
Yeah, can't play Anaheim.
But they could. But I wouldn't want to play Calgary right now. I wouldn't. Calgary's really found their game in the last 55 games.
Calgary, Nashville, or San Jose, or I guess even St. Louis technically. But St. Louis's schedule, there's no chance they're finishing in the wild card. Craig, we will chat with you again next week. All sorts of playoffs to discuss by then.
Yeah, we will. Enjoy the weekend.
You too, Craig Button from TSN.